Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, our reading today is taken from John, chapter of John, chapter 10. I'm going to read the first 11 verses and see where the number is. In your pew Bibles, if you didn't bring one. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes in ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Verily, I tell you that I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." May God give us understanding of his Holy Word this morning. Shall we pray? Lord, again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning on the Lord's Day. And we thank you for everyone that's come out this morning to worship you. Lord, your word is spiritually discerned. We ask you to set aside anything that might be on our hearts, our minds, that are troubling us, to forget about those things, and to listen to the message that we have prepared for the people this morning. So Lord, have your way, speak to us, not just as a group, but individually. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. New Year. I know a lot of people are going to be celebrating, especially those that are unsaved. I remember years ago, you know, very optimistic about the new year, forgetting about what's happened in the past and going out and celebrating, not like Christians would, really. I remember a story about one fella. He was in England and he was coming home from work one New Year's Eve, and he popped into the pub and he wanted to celebrate, you know, the new year coming in, and he had another drink and another, and he didn't get out there until late at night, and he was coming home like 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was this English policeman that stopped him. He said, "What are you doing out this time of night?" He says, "Oh, I'm going to go to a lecture." He said, "Who goes to a lecture this time of night?" He says, "I'm going home to hear a lecture for my wife." Boom, okay. Jesus says, "I am come." I want to focus on verse 10. That's what we'll have to do, that, Sean. Have a drum roll in there. In fact, Paul plays the drums, so we should just get into it. Focus on verse 10. "I am come that they may have life and have it to the full." In other words, have it more abundantly. Probably your version says that, the King James Version. More abundantly. To Today's message is to encourage us to live up to our God-given potential and live a life to the full this coming new year. That's what we all should desire, to live life to the full. Jesus says we can have it, to live life to the full and have it more abundantly. I read of a truck driver from LA named Lawrence Walters, whose life was unfulfilled. He was living an unfulfilled life. So at the age of 33, he went out and bought 42 weather balloons and a deck chair. And after he came home, he anchored the chair to the ground with some ropes and then tied those weather balloons he had bought to the chair. When all was ready, he sat himself in the chair with an air gun on his lap, loaded. Then one by one, he cut the ropes. And within minutes, he started to get higher and higher and attained an altitude of 16,000 feet.
That's crazy.
The air traffic control tower at LA Airport reported receiving a number of calls from various pilots, and one of them said, "You're not going to believe this, but there's a man floating up here in a deck chair." And once Mr. Walters' thirst for action was quenched and probably running out of oxygen, he shot some of those balloons with his air rifle and gradually floated down to earth. 45 minutes later, he landed at Long Beach, California, 7 miles from where he had taken off. He made this trip, and it made front page news, resulting in a Timex ad and TV interviews. Some of you may remember that. Asked what his motivation for doing this stunt, Larry replied, "It was something I had to do. I couldn't just sit there and do nothing." He later quit his job and for a while was booked as a motivational speaker and became known as Lawn Chair Larry. You ever heard of him? Lawn Chair Larry. He tried and did fulfill his dream while he was still alive because he took action. He chose to do something. He was unfulfilled. One author wrote, "There are so many people in the world whose lives are unfulfilled. So fear not that your life shall come to an end, but rather that it should never have a beginning. Fear not that your life shall come to an end, but rather that it should never have a beginning." Jesus said, "I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Yes, it's only Jesus who can bring eternal life. But God wants to include an abundant life, a life lived to the fullest here on earth, not just when we get to heaven. We can have an abundant spiritual life, not just when we get to heaven either, but now, right now, in this coming new year. Are you optimistic for this coming new year, making the most of life's opportunities and living up to our God-given potential? Some of you are living up to your God-given potential. Ask yourself, am I living up to God's given potential? Ephesians 5:16 says, "Redeeming the time." Why? Because the days are evil. In other words, making the most of every opportunity for the glory of God. And in this coming new year, brings with it a new beginning. So why not make what time we have left really count for the Lord? Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." They He's talking about us, his sheep. He wants to give us a fulfilling, abundant life on earth. He says his sheep listen to his voice and they follow him. Those that follow him will not only have life, but have it more abundantly if they want it. If they want it. Not just receive spiritual life when we get saved, but a life that's lived for God. That's fulfilling here on earth. Can you look back on your life as a believer and say, I had a fulfilling life. I had a fulfilling life. And if you do that, you follow the Good Shepherd, it's eternally profitable. God is no man's debtor. We shall receive a reward if we are faithful to him, and we can live a fulfilling, abundant life, not just when we get saved, but here on earth. There's countless books, as you know, and magazines full of advice, and TV programs full of advice how we ought to live a better life. And we can feel better, we can live a healthier life. There's advice on relationships and fitness, nutrition, weight loss, which we probably all need after Christmas, and travel, everything we need, they think, in order to live a so-called fuller life. Perhaps you've already made some New Year's resolutions, have you? New Year's resolutions. Well, a New Year's resolution is something that goes in one year and out the other. That's a good definition. You remember that one? Mark it down. New Year's resolution is something that goes in one year and out the other. But having life and having it to the full is more than just a self-improvement program. It's about choosing to live life God's way. To live for him. Not just live life for ourselves. That's what the majority of people are doing. They're choosing to live life for themselves instead of living their life for God. The nation of Israel is a good example. They've been delivered from slavery in Egypt by Moses, the deliverer. These people were selfish. And why? They suffered the consequences of their sin because they didn't put God first and they rebelled against him. And they were wandering aimlessly. That's what most people are doing in the world. They're wandering aimlessly. And for the people of Israel, they wandered aimlessly for 40 years and their shoes never worn out. 40 years wandering aimlessly in the desert. And they probably kept asking Moses, like most children do. They had children and they're in the car and they don't know how far it is to the destination. They keep asking, are we there yet? Are we there? Are we there yet? No, we're not. If we were, I'll tell you. You'd know. They probably kept asking Moses that, are we there yet? 40 years, can you imagine that? And God spoke through Moses in Deuteronomy 30, 19:20. I'll read it. And he says, this day, God speaking through Moses, the prophet, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. See, we've all got willpower. We've all got a will to choose or not to choose. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Is the Lord your whole life? Or is he just Lord on Sunday mornings? Did you know there's almost, I won't say approximately 170 hours in a week? There's actually 168 hours in 1 week. Is it too much to ask to spare the Lord a couple of hours on the Lord's day? Is it too much to ask, considering what he has done for us? So in this coming new year, let's renew our commitment to put God and others before ourselves. We can make the choice to do that. Only I can make that choice to put God and others before ourselves. We can choose to commit ourselves to learn more about God. Learning about God is inexhaustible. We can choose to learn more about God. We can choose to read and meditate and obey God's word. We can choose either to do that or not to do it. We can choose to become faithful givers of our time. Actually, it's not really our time. He gave us birth, and he knows exactly when our time is up. He said that you are not your own. You are bought with a price. So then glorify God in your body. Become faithful givers of our time and our finances. Everything we've got comes from the hand of the Lord. We don't own anything. We can choose to attend prayer meetings. And if we're not able to do that, why not start one in your house? And if you're on your own, have a little prayer meeting by yourself. You can choose to attend adult Sunday school and learn more about the Lord. We can choose to do that, or we can choose not to do it. We can choose to honor the Lord and commit to be faithful attendees on the Lord's day. We can choose to follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. We can choose to do that, or we can choose not to do it. Day by day, we can choose to be faithful to God, or we can choose not to be. That's our choice. And truthfully, we won't even have the desire to be faithful without the power, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to help us live the way that God intends for our life. He intends that we not only have life, but we have a fulfilling, abundant life. And we can only do that when we put him and others first, and we choose to do that. But if we simply choose to keep our faith to ourselves and not place it where it belongs, in what Jesus did on the cross for us, and to maintain that faith there, that's where we can have a fulfilling life. If we choose to maintain our faith in what Jesus did on the cross and maintain it there, keep it there, you can have a fulfilling life through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need God every day. Don't you? I do. We need him every day to help us to do those things that are pleasing in his sight, to serve him by serving his church. What is the church? You and me. We are the body of Christ. a life of service dedicated to our Savior. Ask yourself, how can I serve God and His church in 2018? How can I serve God and His church, the body of Christ, in 2018? How can I do that? Ask yourself. Ask God, how can I serve you and your church this coming new year? There's so many opportunities available here. So why not take the initiative this coming new year by using our gifts, spiritual gifts, our talents, whatever they may be, and our resources that God has given us to live a life of service. We can start over this coming new year. And remember, we don't have to struggle in order to serve God. It should be a blessing. And it is when we do that. It shouldn't be a struggle to serve God and His church, regardless of our circumstances and our limitations. We could all come up with excuses. We can choose to be bound by our circumstances and our limitations. Oh, I can't do that because of this. I can't do that because of that. That's defeatism. It's not what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4, 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. It's not in our strength that we can serve God and others. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me the power to do it. I read a story about a man named Charlie. You may have heard about him. You'll hear the story in a minute. His name is Wiedemeyer. He coached a high school football team to the only state championship they'd ever won. One day, a man who happened to be a writer, author, attended a practice session with Charlie and his team. And he observed from the sidelines that during the football practice, an assistant coach would come up and whisper in Charlie's ear some questions and about attacking and defensive plays. Charlie was the coach. So without hesitation, Charlie, who had been watching intently at the game, he would spell out the specifics to his assistant to follow. He was the main man, Charlie was. And a few minutes later, another coach would come up to Charlie and ask him a question. And Charlie had the answer for him as well. And this writer noted that the only parts of Charlie's body that he could actually move were his eyes and his mouth. See, Charlie suffered with Lou Gehrig's disease, which had affected him so much that no sound could come out of his mouth. So with the help of his wife, Lucy, she was his interpreter. She could read lips, you see. And she would deliver the message. And not only did Charlie coach football, he and Lucy traveled and spoke to people in schools, and businesses, and prisons, and in churches. They sent a powerful message of faith, hope, courage, love, and a never give up spirit, which are all the ingredients of an abundant life. Faith, hope, courage, love, and a never give up spirit. You ever feel like giving up? Don't give up. Those are the ingredients of an abundant life. He even wrote an autobiography about the abundant life that he was living, even with his limitations, called Charlie's Victory. You can buy it, you can read it. Charlie's Victory. He wasn't a defeatist. He was victorious. He's one of only a few inspirational speakers who couldn't speak audibly. But despite his limitations, with God's help, he lived life to the full, in spite of his circumstances. How about us? And when the devil whispers in your ear and says to you that you can't do it, remember that story about Charlie. Remember that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can't do it by yourself. And if you did, it would be a waste of time with no reward. Are we living life to the full with all that God has given to us? Even though we have limitations, regardless of our circumstances, are we making the most of every opportunity to live wisely with the time we have left on earth? And beware of anyone, I don't care who it is, beware of anyone who tries to steer you away from being faithful to God and your church and fulfilling God's plan for your life individually. Beware of anyone who tries to steer you away from being faithful to God and His church and fulfilling God's plan for your life. Anyone. Ask yourself, because of all that Jesus has done for me, what more could he have done that he hadn't done already? All that he has done for me, how can I, with my circumstances and limitations, how can I serve God? How can I serve him and his church and others in my life? In this church in 2018, how can I do that? Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. So people are not willing to do that, you see. If you want to follow the good shepherd of the sheep, he said, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And the only way that we can deny self is by making the choice to put God and others before self. The only way we can deny self is by making the choice to put God and others before ourself. Doesn't come naturally. That's why we need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And when we learn that, and we can put that into practice, that's when we'll find real peace, real purpose, real satisfaction, and a fulfilling life on earth. With all the blessings that come back to us from the hand of God. It should be an honor to serve God. And it is, but we've got to choose to do it. To quote a popular Christmas movie, and I'm kind of probably sick of it like the rest of you are, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. And Jesus promised that he will not only give us life, but he will also give it more abundantly. Are you living the abundant life? The past is gone. Coming new year, should be optimistic. We can start over, like Paul says, Philippians 3:13-14. You know, Paul had quite a past, the Apostle Paul. But he says this, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That should be our purpose in this coming new year. It's a wonderful life. The past is gone. We cannot change anything. But with this coming new year, it brings with it a fresh start, a new beginning in the service of King Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do want to thank you for what you did and what you suffered on our behalf to bring us to God. What it cost you. And you came as an example, as a servant. Remember the time when you wanted to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter said, no, Lord, not you. And he said, if I can't wash your feet, then you can have none of me. And he said, oh, Lord, wash my head too. And you showed us the way how to be a servant, but you've also enabled us to be able to do that because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we pray that you'll give us the desire to choose to serve others in this church. And if we do that, then we'll be serving you. Whatever gift or ability or talent, whatever we've got, regardless of our limitations and our circumstances, we can love you and serve you by serving others. Help us to do that, we pray, through your Holy Spirit on a daily basis, to truly serve you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.